Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go. From the East Coast to the West Coast and around the world, Talking Sports is here. You can't see me. Time is now. Family and friends, America, welcome to another amazing, jam-packed edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man. We are in the home stretch of the NFL draft right around the corner, 2 days away. We can't wait to talk about what's going down. We got the same crew here. We're glad to welcome JQ back when he gets through with his little issues, with his little launch, whatever, but hopefully he'll be jumping on pretty soon. And he is feeling better. But without further ado, man, let's jump around the room and see how everyone's doing this evening. I'm going to start off with Rob. How you feeling this evening, my guy?
Man, doing great, man. Feeling good. 2 days in a row, asparagus for lunch. 2 nights in a row, broccoli for dinner. Yeah, getting those vegetables in. Feeling good.
I don't even know how to. Go ahead, Gary. How about I transition off that one, man? I don't know.
Rob, I was thinking about you yesterday. We were up at Snohomish Falls. It's outside the Seattle area.
Mm-hmm.
It's where Arnetta and I had our first date.
Wow.
And we were on our way back from our trip, so we went that way so we could stop there and have dinner. And they served... I had this fish dish, but they served it over this grilled white asparagus with saffron, and it was absolutely delicious. Yeah,
I love white asparagus.
I'll see if I can. I'll send you a pic after the show. It was great.
All right. Looking forward to it.
I mean, I think the crazy thing, I think we all have an affinity for asparagus, but just the affinity that Rob has just takes it to a whole other level. It's just, it's pretty interesting. I mean, every single day it seems like Rob is literally taking asparagus, and if you just let it smell your pee, I don't know. It's just, I'm not sure the whole, you know, obsession with asparagus, but it's just... you know, as Gary said, some way, somehow you're going to fit that into the conversation.
Probably the healthiest vegetable you can eat.
Mm-hmm. There's no one's hating on you at all. I'm just saying, I said we have an affinity for asparagus. I like asparagus too. I'm not eating it every single day. If you put a mozzarella salad in front of me.
Now, every time we eat it, we're thinking of Rob.
That's kind of another situation too. So, you know, again, that's going
to
be Rob's.
Y'all need to eat
Rob's
it every day, then, so y'all
four.
Can think of me every day, right?
Oh, my God. Okay. America.
I do take some days off from it, though. Occasionally.
We wouldn't know, but it's all good. But,
does the wife eat as much asparagus as you do?
Just about, yep.
All right.
Yeah, eats asparagus mm-hmm. together, stays together. I don't know. No, it's all good, so. America, please forgive
us
for that little sidetrack as far as the asparagus life. But, you know, it's all good. Let's get ready for the show. We have a lot of things to discuss. Somebody's going to listen to this episode like, man, they are really loving asparagus. But, again, it's all good. Asparagus is Rob's number one draft pick, if you will, too. So, without further ado, let me give you the numbers out to the show for those who want to call into the show, as always. The 424-243-9 19 is always the number to call into the show. You can follow us on Twitter, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're going to check us out on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com / Talking Sports with the 12th Man. If you put in 12th Man Sports, you will find us in that arena as well. We post a lot of things. And again, Rob, thank you for posting. It appears, I'm not sure if this is your final mock draft, seventh round mock draft.
Not at all.
Posted that, not the last one? Okay, cool. You got another two, maybe, something like that? Okay.
I got at least one more in me that I've already started working on, but we'll go over the one that I posted on Sunday.
Yeah, I know, because there's been some
interesting things.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. And I think we're going to dive into that, too. And then also, obviously, we posted things as far as, what's happening as far as show, too. But we're going to literally kick it off with that. And, Gary, I didn't get a chance. Did you want to say anything else as far as how you feel? And I know I didn't give you a chance to check in with you, by the way, before we get
to the show. Oh, no, I'm feeling great. I just want to say that, we are sponsored by the Asparagus Farmers of America. Great. Thank you for your sponsorship.
Hey, the people are... Hey, the people in Peru got to love us on the show, man, because, that's where a lot of the asparagus is grown. They ship it over here. So, hey, our friends.
They grow a lot of it out west.
Yeah, you're right. You do, too. Yep.
Yeah, we have a lot of it out here.
Hey, Gary, we got to come up and check up that place in Washington, near Seattle, with you guys.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Let's get this party started. And so I was just making sure, yes, thank you for the plug for the Asparagus Farmers of America. Maybe we will get that sponsorship. And that way we can have Rob just rolling in asparagus like, Scrooge McDuck diving into the money. He'll just have asparagus for the whole time too. So maybe that'll be one of his wishes. But anyway, let's talk about the mock draft, if you will. And we're going to talk about some interesting situations that C.J. Stroud, his scores, if that affects his draft stock, because there's been some interesting situations with that. Now we're in it, right? What's going on with the quarterbacks, and, there's going to be some surprise, I think, in your mock draft. Rob, you had some trades as well. We don't know what's going to happen. This is going to be a very interesting draft. So I'll kick it off with you, Rob, and we'll go from there.
Hey, one thing to give Gary another shout-out is if you guys haven't seen it, you got to see the movie Air. And had a chance to see it this past weekend. And really good story about how Nike recruited Michael Jordan and all the obstacles they had to come with competing with Adidas and Converse. And if you go back during that time, Nike was the third in tennis shoes, not just in America, but the world. They were behind Adidas and they were behind Converse at the time. If you remember, during the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Dr. J era, they all wore Converse.
Converse.
And so they were they were the major NBA tennis shoe at the time. But Nike was able to secure Michael Jordan, and the rest is history. They wound up buying Converse. So it was a great story. Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Viola Davis, Chris Tucker.
Yeah.
I thought Gary would get a kick out of that, from the Portland area. Obviously, they talk about Beaverton, Oregon a lot in the movie. You guys definitely should, if you haven't seen it, definitely should go and check it out. Really good movie. Yeah. Yep. But getting to the mock draft, I digress. So, Gary, I know we still like going to the movies, so I know a lot of people don't these days, but. Yeah, we still one of our pastimes. We still like going to the movies. Yeah.
Yeah, I love going to the movies, too. Actually, I'm a movie guy. Mark's not as much, but I definitely love going to the movies. And to piggyback on the air thing, Rob, I think, my cousin works for Adidas in the marketing. He literally is in Germany. And so he was telling me about a lot of things that happened because Adidas didn't really want to take a shot on Michael, which is crazy, right? There's always that one decision maker. Like, I don't know, right? And so I'm curious how that does play along and, how Nike just came in and just literally was like, they're pitching him to that. So I'm kind of curious how that plays out. One person made a bad decision, right? They just didn't want to go with Jordan. Same thing, I'm sorry, not to bring up that whole draft thing for Portland all over again, Gary, but it's just one person that
you might make
a decision that
don't make
change.
Gary throw up on the show.
Yeah,
I know. I'm sorry, my guy. Yeah. But Sam Blue was a good pick. You talk about this. He was good, but just dang, you didn't know, right? Who knows? Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We'll get
I'm
to
sorry,
the mock
Gary.
Draft.
I think
See, you're making them drink even more now.
I have to,
I'm going to drink for you. But I'll go over the top 10 picks. Obviously, by all indications, look like Carolina is going with Bryce Young at the number one pick, where, you know, for quite some time we thought it was going to be C.J. Stroud. But it looks like all indications is going to be Bryce Young at the number one spot for Carolina. I know there's a lot of talk out there about C.J. Stroud and him possibly dropping, even possibly dropping out of the top 10. I still say Houston would be crazy to pass him up. You know, I still think Bryce Young was 1A and C.J. Stroud was 1B or vice versa. So in this particular mock, I still got Houston taking C.J. Stroud and taking a quarterback, even though there's a lot of talk out there where they're not taking the quarterback here and taking Will Anderson. So we'll see what my final mock looks like. And maybe this mock is what I think Houston should do. You know, I don't think they can bank on them getting Caleb Williams or Drake May or the quarterback from the University of Washington next year. What is it, Michael Renix? I don't think we can bank on him getting one of those three guys, right? So I still got Houston taking C.J. Stroud here, number two. I got Arizona taking Will Anderson. I got Indianapolis taking Jalen Carter, defensive tackle from Georgia. Mm. And then number five, I got a little trade. At number five, I got Detroit moving up a spot to take Anthony Richardson at quarterback here and possibly sit him for a year or so behind Jared Goff. You know, Kansas City did the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. He sat a year behind Alex Smith. Then they traded off Alex Smith. So I got Detroit taking Anthony Richardson here at five. Seattle drops back to six and get Tyree Wilson, edge rusher from Texas Tech. Las Vegas gets Devon Witherspoon, cornerback from Illinois, who's probably right there with Christian Gonzalez right now, by all indications, based on a lot of the same thing with Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. They think Witherspoon and Gonzalez is 1A, 1B at the cornerback position. Both are extremely athletic, fast corners, gifted playmakers. I got Christian Gonzalez going to the Falcons here at eight. I got Broderick Jones, offensive tackle from Georgia to Chicago at nine. And rounding out the top 10, I got Jackson Smith and Jigba, wide receiver from Ohio State, giving Jalen Hurts another weapon in that Philadelphia offense, which could be quite scary. All right, I'll go over our teams here really quick. I already talked about the Falcons taking Christian Gonzalez in round one. In the second round, I got to take a Steve Avila, who's interior offensive lineman, probably going to play guard in the NFL. Can play center too, but I think his preferred position is going to be guard. He's probably the best offensive lineman in the Big 12, one of the best in the Big 12 on last season. So fairly dominant, really good in the run game and pass game, versatile. Have the Falcons taking him in the second round. Third round, I got him taking Andre Carter, the second, edge rusher from Army. He did really well in the Senior Bowl. You know, that really showcased his talent. You know, there were some questions about, you know, his competition, but he really showcased his talent in the Senior Bowl. So got them taking him in the third round. In the fourth round, the Falcons got two fourth-round picks. I got him taking the Daniel Dale, wide receiver from Houston. He's a little small. He's only 5'8", but the guy catches the football. I mean, he caught almost 100-something passes last year for the University of Houston. He's fast. He's quick. He's great in the return game, very versatile. And the only reason he's going this late is probably because of his size. But the guy catches the football, runs great routes. Could be a real sleeper for somebody. Also in the fourth round, I got the Falcons taking Ojomo, defensive tackle from Texas. I think this is the second mock I've had him to the Falcons. He's under 300 pounds. He's really more of a three technique defensive tackle, quick and more of a pass rushing type defensive tackle. He goes here this late because of he's a little small. Probably a lot of teams probably going to want him to get a little bit bigger. But that's why he lasts until the fourth round. Falcons doesn't have a fifth and sixth round pick, but they got two seventh rounders. Got him taking Clayton Tune, quarterback from Houston. Who could be a real sleeper as well, good accuracy as well at the quarterback position. And with their last pick, I got him taking Rejon Wright, cornerback from Oregon State, 6'2", 200, pretty solid coverage skills, very competitive. He was a three-star recruit coming out of high school. So he really worked his way up into being the draft pick. His only downside is his physicality. He needs some work in that area. He's missing tackles, too, and that's probably why he falls into the seventh round. But he's got solid coverage skills. On to the Cowboys. In the first round, I got him taking Osiris Torrance, big, nasty offensive guard from the University of Florida.
I like him.
We saw him shine at the University of Louisiana in the Sun Belt Conference. He came back and shined in the SEC. Real sleeper player here. Could be a starter day one for any program he goes to. In the second round, I got the Cowboys taking Sam Laporta, tight end from Iowa. He's another guy that's a really good pass catcher. You probably didn't really get to see it as much at Iowa because they haven't had a quarterback that can throw the ball since Chuck Long in the 80s. And but if you but
Chuck
if
Long.
You if you look at his if you look at his combine, if you look at him in the All-Star Bowl games, he really shined catching a football. He would like him to be an inch or two taller, tight end position. It's probably why he goes into the second round. But his guy that I think would be a real solid pass catcher in the NFL. Third round, Jair Brown, safety from Penn State, 5'11", 203 pounds, had six INTs last year. He was a team MVP, and he was a Rose Bowl MVP when they beat Utah in the Rose Bowl. Ran a 4.63 40. Would like them to be slightly faster than that, but you watch the guy on tape. He's really good and probably can even help them in special teams as well. Cowboys put a lot of emphasis on his secondary this offseason, and they continue that here in this draft. And then even in the fourth round, I got him taking Cam Mitchell, cornerback from Northwestern, 4.47 40, solid cover corner. He struggles a little bit against bigger receivers. He's about 5'11". But it will be a solid pick here for you in the fourth round, give you some depth at the cornerback position. In the fifth round, the Cowboys take Rakeem Jarrett, from wide receiver from Maryland, 6 feet, 192 pounds, 4.44 40. Will be a slot receiver in the NFL. Got excellent speed and quickness. He's improved his route running a little bit. That's probably why he last here, but will be a solid pick there too in the fourth round. The Cowboys don't have a fifth rounder. In the sixth rounder, they take Dante Steele, a defensive tackle, West Virginia, 6'4", 286, ran a 4.85 40. He had nine tackles for loss last year, two forced fumbles, 4.5 sacks. Stats dropped off a little bit last year, but he still made first-team all Big 12 last year. He's another defensive tackle that's under 300 pounds, a little small. Probably want to get him to be a little bit bigger at the defensive tackle position. Last but not least, the Cowboys in the seventh round, they take Evan Hall, running back, Northwestern. It gives them some depth at the running back position. Lost Zeke Elliott. He's 5'10", 209, 4.47, 40. Compact, muscular runner. Lacks a little bit of explosiveness. He's got good hands catching the ball out of the backfield. But he will be a seventh round pick. And last but not least, my beloved Saints. First round, I got to take a Nolan Smith, edge rusher from Georgia, explosive. Ran a 4.39 40, and he was mad that he ran that. He said he couldn't believe he ran that slow. Like, you're an edge rusher, you ran a 4.39, and he was mad that he ran that slow. So that's insane. The Saints would be lucky to get him here. He could very well go much higher in the draft than where the Saints picking at 29. The second round, I got the Saints picking Anton Harrison, offensive tackle from Oklahoma, 6'4", 315 pounds, ran a 4.98. Really educated football player. He's got a high IQ, uses his length extremely well in pass coverage, and needs a little improvement in his run blocking, though. In the third round, I got the Saints taking Ja'Quarian Bennett, cornerback from Maryland. Now, at one point, he was considered highly rated in Deontay Banks, but Banks surpassed him, and Bennett is somewhere in his third round, fourth round area. He's 5'11", 188, ran a 4.3 40, so he can flat out run. He had 11 pass breakups, three INTs last year. He was MVP of the Duke Mayo Bowl victory over NC State. And speaking of NC State, the Saints' fourth-round pick is from NC State. Chandler Zavala, interior offensive lineman, second offensive lineman in Saints draft here. And it's mock 6'3", 322, tremendous run blocker. He's got a strong base. Started all 12 games last year, first team all ACC. And then in the fifth round, the Saints go to smallest defensive tackle too, Kobe Wooden, defensive tackle from Auburn, 6'4", 273. Ran a 4'7", 340. Started all 12 games for Auburn last year, and a disappointing season for Auburn. But he had 11.5 tackles for loss, 6 sacks, 3 forced fumbles. So a really good year for him. A little on the light end at the defensive tackle, only 273 pounds. More of a 3-technique pass rusher. They probably like him to get a little bit muscular. But he is he's got good length, and the Saints like that in their defensive tackles. Saints don't have any they have 2 fifth-round picks, I'm sorry. Ontavian Wicks, wide receiver from Virginia, 6'2", 206. Ran a slow 40, 4.62. A kid that's from New Orleans, went to college in Virginia. Saints take him here in the fifth round. Saints don't have any sixth rounds. They've got 2 seventh-rounders. They take Josh Proctor, safety from Ohio State. They got to draft a Buckeye. Saints got to draft a Buckeye player, right? So they draft a safety from Ohio State here in the seventh round. He had a major injury in 2021. Took him a little while to kind of get back to 100%. They take a flyer on him and see if he can get back to where he was prior to the injury. And then last but not least, they take Drake Thomas, linebacker from North Carolina State, 2 NC State players in his mock draft for the Saints. So there you have it. I know that's a lot, but the full 7 round is posted on our Talking Sports for the 12th main page.
I like it. I like the Cowboys draft that you have there. Definitely address some needs. We'll see how close this is to what all of our teams are going to select. All of our teams all have that one guy, their wish list guy. Who's that wish list guy for the Cowboys, Rob? Who do you think the Cowboys would they could get one of these? If someone could fall into their grasp, who do you think that would be and who do you think they would take?
Well, I definitely think they're looking at offensive line really heavily here. I definitely think that's a real focus area for them going into this draft. I know there's some talk of would Jerry Jones take Bijan Robinson if he's available. I think that's always a chance. The running back position has just been devalued so much now, so you just wonder, if it's worth it because you might only get 6-7 years. You saw that out of Zeke Elliott. Before he started to slow down. So is it worth it where you can get a dominant offensive lineman and they might be in your program for 10 to 12 years, right? So, you just got to weigh those options. But I think the key for the Cowboys, I think they're going to be looking at the best offensive lineman in this draft. I think tight end is another position they could be looking at, another weapon for them in the passing game, since they lost their tight end. So I think those would be 2 positions. And this mock just so happened has the first 2 positions, first round offensive lineman, second round tight end.
Yeah.
So I think those are 2 positions. But Bijan is available. I think Jerry Jones highly considered. But I got him going 18 to Detroit right now. Detroit is looking for a game breaker on offense too. So I got Bijan going number 18 overall to Detroit.
Yeah.
Good move.
Very, very good draft. And, Rob, it's pretty interesting because there's a couple things that happened with us this week. Obviously the Falcons releasing Casey Hayward. And like you said, last week, it feels like we have to have an Ohio State wide, cornerback kind of with Ryan Nielsen, the defensive guy from the Saints, right? It feels like that's just kind of natural. But we kind of don't really know which direction that they're going because there's been some rumors about Bijan at number 8, which I think is extremely high. You've had some options for Nolan Smith even going that high. You've had some options, like you said, Luke Vanette. You had, Tyree Wilson. It seems like Miles Murphy has kind of been forgotten, if you will. But I really don't know what they're going to do, which is kind of an interesting situation. I would love another option if they traded down. I still think there's a gap at left guard and center, right? So, you know, I love Osiris Torrance. I love that dude. You know, I don't know if Peter Skronsky, is he going to be a good, you know, guard, because I know his arms are too short. That's what everyone talks about. But I know that some way we have to, you know, obviously add some depth to that. So it's like, I don't know what they're going to do, right? And then under this in your mock, they didn't have a running back, but I still think they're going to draft a running back at some point. Maybe get the guy from Tulane, first couple options. Do we kind of beef up the defensive tackle? Because you added Calais, you added Bud Dupree, you know, you added some great defensive, you know, obviously besides J.C. Bates and, you know, everyone else we added. So it's like, this is a really interesting draft. I have no clue where they're going. And they can keep talking about, you know, quarterback, but I still think Desmond Ridder is the guy. But no one really knows. So that's why I'm kind of intrigued about what's happening on Thursday, because is it the best player available? Are they trading out of that position? Is there going to be a lot of trades? It's going to be interesting, you know, who gets up in there as well. You talked about Detroit, Rob, and there's a couple of players that were going to be suspended for gambling, and I think Jameson Williams was in that as well, right? He's going to be suspended for six games, and he was really doing his thing. Great, you know, wide receiver, obviously, from Alabama. So I can see, you know, Detroit picking a game breaker like a Bijan Robinson. But like you said, even for us at eight, is that too high? Because you're like, man, that's kind of high for running back. But with the Cowboys, that's kind of a good value, right? But then if you're Jerry Jones, maybe I can get some more value, you know, on the offensive side, right? You know, Darrell Washington, huge tight end from Georgia. There's a couple players that can make some situations really good. And then, you know, I'm a fan of Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm a fan of Keon White. There's a couple players I just think these are great fits, but I don't know what we're going to do, you know. So it's going to be a very, very interesting mock draft. I noticed that you had Stetson Bennett going in the fifth round, so I thought it was pretty interesting as well. Like, oh, you got Stetson going in the fifth round to Buffalo, believe it or not, which is pretty interesting. So I was just kind of following that as well. So really good job as far as putting that together.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, when you look at Stetson Bennett, when you start drafting a quarterback in the fourth round to the seventh round, I mean, you're looking at those guys being somewhat of a backup, and maybe if you get lucky, you hit the jackpot on them. So you're not looking for Stetson to come in and replace Josh Allen. You're looking for him maybe to be a backup. And maybe, you know, the Taysom Hill effect. You got a lot of teams that are utilizing a athletic quarterback to come in and do a lot of gadget stuff too. And Stetson has got some really good athleticism to his game here. So, I mean, that's something to look at. As a, you know, and Josh Allen, you don't want him to keep taking all that beating running the football. You know, maybe you get Stetson to take on some of that too.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Speaking of quarterbacks too, so where does Hendon Hooker land actually? So this is a situation, you know, the quarterback of Tennessee was really lighting it up. He had an injury.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, there's another interesting quarterback. So where do we think he falls?
Well, here's the interesting thing about Hendon Hooker. I mean, I think he's climbing up draft boards, even though there's a really good chance he's going to be out most of the next season. But he's well ahead of schedule in his recovery. And if you all know, remember, prior to him getting hurt, I mean, he had a potential of being a top 10 draft pick in this draft. I mean, he was doing extremely well at Tennessee, getting rid of the ball quickly, reading defenses, accurate in the deep game. And this mock is the highest I've had him. I got him at 14 overall now. And I got the Washington Commanders. I got the Washington Commanders trading up from 16 to 14 to grab him and take Hendon Hooker here. So this is the highest I've had him mocked out of any of my mocks. And obviously Hendon may not be in competition next year, but right now the Washington Commanders are going into the season with Sam Howell at quarterback. Are they confident he's their long-term answer? I think they're going to give him every opportunity to be, but is he their long-term answer, right? You take a chance on Hendon Hooker here, possibly be that guy. And really, if you draft him in the first round, you are drafting him to be that guy eventually, maybe just not next year.
It's like a stock. We got JQ on as well, too. JQ has officially joined, officially.
Hey.
So, what's up, my guy? You doing good?
Yes, sir.
What's up, JQ? Welcome
back.
Good
to hear.
Good.
We were talking about, you know, where Henderson Hooker's going to land, and Rob had him, like you said, going 14 overall. this is a situation kind of like a stock, right? You're kind of buying the value here and hope that he just, like, has a tremendous upside in this situation, too, because, like you said, Rob, he was playing extremely well. If he wasn't injured, could he possibly be, like, a top-10 quarterback is the question. And now, if you're kind of betting, like, hey, you know, we think we can send him back and we can actually develop him, you know, this is a guy that was actually playing better than Anthony Richardson, and we'll see if Anthony Richardson is going to go higher than him, supposedly. But, you know, there may be some surprises, too. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, take you as well.
So as a Bengals fan that hopes that people really love him, that's really, I agree. I think Hendon Hooker was going to go. To me, Hendon Hooker was going to go. He would have challenged, I think, Bryce. I mean, our CJ for that second quarterback. I really do. I think people love Bryce Young. You can find out and you can hear what they're saying about him. And they want him to go number one overall. But I feel like if he hadn't got hurt, it would have been him and CJ as a second or third quarterback. So as a Bengals fan sitting there at 28, I really hope there's some NFC game. And I say NFC game because, listen, the N is full. I don't need any more good quarterbacks coming into the AFC. I need one of these NFC teams that might be sitting there at the top of the second round and, like, ooh, you just hold off. And then if he don't go, maybe we move back into the bottom of the first round and go get it. I can see that happening. I was really impressed with him. I really was. During that play, he had to be balling out. He got hurt for him. But I think he would have went in the top 10 for sure if he hadn't gotten hurt. And I feel like there might be somebody that sees him maybe slip a little bit in that end of that first round and say, hey, I got a little draft capital. Can I move back into the final first round and go get him?
Man, you know Cincinnati. They never trade up or never trade back in the draft. They always take like what he had in every draft.
That's not true. Sometimes they trade back. They will never trade up. That part about it, you are correct. They're never going to trade up. But they'll trade back into the second round and get another second or third round pick for that. But, yeah, they're never going to trade up. You're 100% correct about that.
And I'm hoping the Saints do the Saints trade up every single year. At least, a lot of times they do it 2-3 times in one draft. And I'm hoping this is the year they finally trade back and get more picks. They trade up every single year. They traded up to get Chris Olave last year. That worked. I'm not going to complain about that. And
right.
But every single year they trade up and get somebody in the draft. This is the year you trade back and get more picks because there's a big difference between the top 15 players and the next group of players after that.
Yeah, and for the Bengals, you got to try to keep T and Jason Burrow. Like, I hate to say it like that, but you need a little bit more, you know, cheap labor. So if you can move back a little bit and pick up another pick for somebody that can be, you know, a difference maker on the roster, on a rookie contract, I'm looking at really looking into that as a real possibility.
Yeah, I mean, good stuff. And we talked about that. We had some good, interesting scenarios. JQ, we had the mock had Detroit trading up to get Anthony Richardson. That was kind of the surprise, kind of sitting for a year. You have your quarterback to replace Jared Goff. If you don't think he's the guy, you kind of sit him like, you know, Kansas City did to Patrick Mahomes. So, like I said, we'll see what happens. I know, Rob, you got CJ Stroud going number two. Will Houston surprise us, you know, kind of going and getting a Will Anderson and really relying on Davis Mills? That's interesting. But I guess the next question we have is where do we think Paris? Huh?
I think that's going to happen. I think if CJ doesn't go one, then he's going to fall because of Houston. Unless somebody moves up to Arizona at three, and I feel like Indianapolis is really locked into Will Levis at four, that he might have a little bit of a slide unexpectedly on draft day. So I can see that happening.
Yeah. All indications are Houston is going to take Will Anderson. I just don't agree with it. But that's just, I mean, and that's the reason why I have C.J. Stroud in this number two is because all indications are they are going to take Will Anderson. I just have them taking C.J. Stroud in my mouth because I think that's what they should do. But all indications is they're going to go with Will Anderson. And C.J. Stroud may slide a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see how far he slides, right? You know, does the coach take him at four? Does he go past the coach here? And, you know, so it's going to be real interesting to see, you know, what happens and how far he does slide. But I think Houston will be crazy I mean, the chances of them getting Caleb Williams next year or Drake May next year, you know, or the kid from Washington next year, you know, I mean, you know, are you going to tank this year to make sure you get one of those guys? You know, you got to take that quarterback.
I got two words for
watch
you.
The Ravens.
Mario Edwards. Watch the Ravens, too. Yeah, we were talking about it, too. Gary, anything you want to add to this, sir?
No. I'm good.
Gary's in his feelings here. He hates the Lakers, by the way. He wanted to let you know that, too, by the way. So
I don't even know where you would come up with something like this. I'm appalled.
I'm sorry. I'm going to cook. Just say something on the Zoom. So we're going to talk about where is Parrish Johnson going to land. So that's the question, right? You know, we got to say Ohio State stand up. So, Rob, I'm going to start with you, and then we'll go to JQ. But where do you think he's going to land?
You know, there's a lot of talk out there. He can even sneak into the top five. I mean, I have him going number 13 right now. I have him going 13 right now. You know, Green Bay and the Jets swap picks, so Green Bay is now at number 13. Oh man. JQ needs to be on a Zoom so he can see that. Gary's made up a sign about your Lakers, JQ.
You talking about them being in the playoffs and Portland being at home?
No, I didn't say anything, JQ.
Well, you could have said anything, but I mean, there's some visual images that are going on that I'm missing.
This is awesome. I love it. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, man.
Gary's being an awesome attraction. I love it.
With Paris Johnson, getting back to Paris Johnson, you know, I think right now it's a tight race between Broderick Jones, Peter Skoronski, and Paris Johnson, who's going to be the number one offensive tackle taken in the draft. I mean, there's some talk that Paris possibly going to the top five. I have him going number 13 overall to Green Bay. Green Bay moves up to 13, and I have Green Bay taking Paris Johnson right there to give Jordan Love some protection, additional protection in his first year as a full-time starter. You know, speaking of the Packers, I think LaFleur is excited about the opportunity of having a quarterback in this camp all off season and working with them. And I don't think we should sleep on the Packers. I think he's sneaky excited about not having to work with Aaron Rodgers this year and an opportunity of working with Jordan Love.
It ain't sneaky. It's out in the open.
Yeah.
Excited about not having to deal with that bullshit no more. And I don't blame him. But I don't think it's sneaky no more. Like, they're all like, yep, cool, let's move on. Sorry, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. Who won the trade? Because I've read some things that both teams won, and then I've heard some things where the Jets lost this. The Packers won because they got rid of Aaron Rodgers. So I guess we can go around the horn and figure out what your thoughts are about, like, you know, who won. I mean, and, you know, and are the Jets getting, like, the older Tom Brady effect here, if you will? Like, you got them, like, too late, and they're going to spend on defense. But what say you guys? I'm going to throw around. I'll start with you, Gary, because, you know, your sign is kind of intriguing, man. So go ahead.
Well, I think that right now, as it stands, I think that, you know, both teams got what they want. But if there's a pendulum there and it's swinging one way, I think it's swinging in the favor of the Jets. They finally got a quarterback that can, you know, throw the ball, and he's a proven winner. And if he's got anything left in the gas tank, I think they got the better end of the deal. That's my personal opinion. What do we have here with the Packers? They've got they have an unproven quarterback. Now, we'll see how they coach this guy up, but we'll see how that goes. But Aaron Rodgers is the proven commodity The Jets got him. I think they won this transaction.
Yeah, this one's it's tough. It's tough for me on this one. And you got to give the Jets kudos for going after her, right? And as a fan of your team, you wanna see them be aggressive and go after it. So you got to give the Jets kudos for that. We don't know how much longer Aaron Rodgers is going to play, and I think that will probably determine who won the trade or not. But if Aaron Rodgers only plays 1 or 2 years, I'm not projecting the Jets to win a Super Bowl. Now, if they win the Super Bowl, hey, the Jets won this trade. There's no doubt about it, right? But on the surface, right, I'm going to say the Packers won the trade. And here's why I say that. I don't have a problem with them swapping first-round picks. I thought that was fair. I thought you know, Green Bay moving up to 13 and the Jets dropping to 15, no issues with that. I have no issues. And the Jets had 2 second-round picks in the draft. I have no issues with them trading one of those second-rounders. I have no issues with them trading one of the late-round picks in this year's draft either. The issue is with next year's draft picks. And that's where I think I didn't think the Jets traded them a conditional second-round pick that had the potential to be a first-round pick if Aaron Rodgers played 65% of his plays.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't know if I would agree to do that on a guy who we don't know how much longer he's going to play. So that aspect of it, that pick, it was a little risky. Like I said, the flip in the first round, no problem. The second round pick, no problem. The late round pick this year, no problem. It's that pick next year that could possibly be a first rounder. That was the one I had a problem with the Jets trading for. But like I said, you as a fan, you got to appreciate your team being aggressive. I just don't like the fact that it gave up that pick that year.
See, and this is where I go with it. It's like, yeah, I was with you into that last part of it. And this is where I would differ, though. If Aaron Rodgers gets him over the hump where you saw the quarterback play for the Jets was the worst in the league, and they move into double-digit wins, and you move into that first and second round pick is in that part of the first and the second round. Not that you can't get talent, but if you're the Jets and you're trying to feed that fan base and feed that, well, does he get more energized, right? I might only want to play a piece of this because of what's going on with Green Bay, but now I see what's happening here in New York, and I extend this window. I'd gladly give you, if they're picking 25th, for that piece of it because I got to pay him anyway, but now I can probably maybe get some other free agents, and you know, I've got the nucleus to my team. I just need the quarterback. So if I give you that pick and he plays for 2 or 3 years, I'm not so upset if I'm a Jets fan because it's like, who are we going to get right there? Maybe we get somebody, and I'm not saying you can't, but is it worth the freight of making the playoffs and getting the fan base re-energized? Like, I don't have a problem with that on the Jets.
Yeah. Well, if you guys had to pick between each one of these teams in the next couple of years, win-loss records, who do you think is going to have a better record? Who do you think is going to be better? I think the Jets are going to be a better team in the next couple of – next year and the year after. I think the Jets are going to be a better team than the Packers.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the thing we got to look at too, right?
Wow.
Yes, if you look at the Packers versus the Jets, it looks like the Jets on paper are a better team. But I think you got to look at the conference that these teams are in too.
That's true.
So the Jets could be a better team than the Packers.
Woo.
But they might still both end up 9-8 or 8-9 just because the Jets are in a tougher conference, right? And, I mean, you look at that division that the Jets are in. The Bills have won a division for quite a few years in a row now. The Dolphins were in the playoffs last year, and they have a talented roster. I know there's some questions about Tua and his health. But then when you look at the Patriots just in the playoffs 2 years ago, and Bill Belichick is going to be competitive. I mean, that division alone is not a cakewalk. And then when you look at the conference, it's not a cakewalk. When you talk about Cincinnati, when you talk about Kansas City, you got Sean Payton going to Denver. You know, you still got the Ravens. That's not a cakewalk conference. So on paper, yes, the Jets look like a better team, but they could very well have the same record just because of the competition.
They are not going to have the same record. I don't think they're going to have the same record. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think they're going to have the same record. I just, if I'm a fan or if I'm in that organization, you try to move forward and be relevant again. That's the first path to relevancy. Like, if I get 2 or 3 years of Aaron Rodgers, basically for, if we talk being serious, we swap first, and then we had an extra second round. So now we're talking about for a first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers. I think you got to make that move. This is the thing I would say. What's the alternative, right? If you don't make that move,
yeah,
and you're in the Jets, what's the alternative? You're not picking high enough to get a quarterback, and without taking some of those same picks and moving up in the draft, and it probably cost you a little bit more to get to move up in the draft. So what is your alternative? You can't come back with that list. You can't come back with Joe Flacco. You just can't do that. So what are your alternatives? You're trying to get, you know, Derek Carr, like, does that make a difference? I don't think so. So, like, I hear what you're saying, but for a first-rounder, conditional first-rounder, to try to move the needle forward, if you're the Jets, I'm not necessarily mad at that. They're trying to make a splash, they made a splash.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because after seeing what happened, we know how New York, you know, see the Knicks win, they just love to see that city have some excitement, right? Now, Aaron Rodgers can't do any shit he normally does because the New York media is going to be on him, right? He can't be taking sabbaticals and quiet, dark spaces and some of that because they're going to be on him, you know, because now you in New York, you know, so it's a different scenario. But I will agree in that maybe he gets energized. The Jets have a lot of weapons, you know. They have a really great defense, you know, obviously Sauce Gardner, you know, some things. So they've got a good squad, you know. So maybe this is an opportunity. All they needed was a quarterback. So Colin Eagle was the quarterback. But like you said, this is going to be – they had to push all their chips in. Maybe they're following the Rams example, like, you know, hey, we're going to grab a quarterback and see what happens and just F what – you know, we're going to go all in. So maybe that will energize the fan base, as JQ said. So, yeah, that's enough. Keep an eye on – there's a couple squads. You know, we're going to talk about quarterbacks, if you will. And I know I definitely want to get to what's going on with T.J. Stroud, you know, because it just feels like we're picking on Ohio State live. But you're looking at those, you know, obviously the S2, that test actually replaced the Wonderlic, right? And so we had this whole battle going back and forth. Ironically, Bryce Young does score in the highest percentile at 98%, and then you're looking at what happened with C.J. Stroud, scored like, I think he scored like 18%. So it's like, oh, man. So, again, cognitive test, you know, and I will do a disclaimer. Maybe not everyone is great at taking tests, you know. I mean, that's something that's really true. A standardized test maybe frees up my interviews, but it's just a situation where, damn, you know, this is a Texas draft stock. So I'll let you talk on that, JQ, and your thoughts on what's going on with that.
Well, I mean, that's not a good look. So, I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. If that story is accurate and that's what he scored on it, then, I mean, it's not a good look. And that's been a knock on the quarterbacks coming out, is that Ryan Day's offense is very simplified. He has so much talent around him that he may not be conducive to going to the NFL game. But it's, to me, it's also some of it is, you know, the silly season of, can I leap something? Can I knock him down so maybe he falls to me, right? Because I've never heard any stories about him not being prepared, not being able to understand the offense.
Yep.
You know, everybody raved about his workout at the pro day and at the combine. So, yeah, again, you're right. He might not be a great test taker, but I feel like he seems to feel good enough. He has good enough accuracy to make the throws. To me, a lot of this feels like, can we get CJ? We know the Houston's trick. We know the Houston's going to be like, yeah, nah, we're not going to do that. And Arizona's already got Kyler Murray, and they're like, well, this college, do they want somebody else on defense? So they're like, well, we're good too, so we're going to take somebody on defense. And then Indianapolis, I think Indianapolis wants somebody to take TJ so they can take Will Levis. I think they really want that to happen so they won't get hit in the ringer if they take Will Levis over CJ and it doesn't work out. So I think that's somebody also there that is trying to manipulate. Hey, we know you don't really want him, but if we put the pressure on you that we know Bryce goes 1 and he doesn't go 2 or 3 and we put these reports out there, does it drive the price down for us to move up to go get CJ, right? Because we know you don't really want him. We know you want Will Levis.
Mm.
But if we try to drive the price down, then you can't hold our feet to the fire trying to get so much more draft capital, because now you have to go through the fourth pick and make this pick and leave CJ on the board. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do that, right? So it feels a lot like to me that we have people playing, they're playing a serious poker game right now with everybody not named mm-hmm. Bryce Young. What it ultimately tells me is that Bryce Young is going number one. I would love for CJ to go number one. I just don't think that's going to happen. It tells me that Bryce is going number one, and everybody else behind, the idiots in Houston and Arizona, are like, how can we get the quarterback that we want without paying top dollar? That's just how I read it.
You're muted, Rob.
I'm sorry. Houston really wants Will Anderson, right? They want to get the top pass rusher in this draft if they can't get Bryce Young. But watch Houston from that 12 pick. If C.J. Stroud and Anthony Anderson, not Anthony Anderson,
wow.
Anthony Richardson.
Man, that's funny. Blackish over here. I got you. Anthony Richardson.
Oh, man. Oh, man, I work with a guy here in Atlanta. He looks just like Anthony Anderson. Man, I'll be teasing him all the time. So, but my bad, Anthony Richardson. But if one or both of those two guys are available, watch Houston to trade up from the 12th spot. And they may still draft a quarterback here in the first round.
I agree.
If they can't get Bryce Young, they're going to take Will Anderson at number two. But watch them trade up from the 12th spot to see if they can get C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson here in that somewhere in that 7 to 10 range if they're available. They'll move up right there. They just didn't want to miss out on getting the best pass rusher in the draft if they can't get Bryce Young. So they may still very well get one of those quarterbacks here.
So, Marco, C.J. Stroud, played for your team. He was always prepared, right? He never had any issues with the playbook, and he's playing for this big-time school that's, you know, always in that national championship conversation. And none of that was too big for him. So I think this is some sort of a smokescreen type of a thing. I don't think it's anything other than that. I just think that there are teams out there that would really want him, and if they can somehow get him to fall a little bit, good for them. This is a dog-eat-dog world out there, and especially when it comes to this draft, nobody tells the truth. You know, once in a while we can, when we're talking about a single number one person in the draft that is clearly, you know, heads above everyone else, we know who they're going to take. But other than that, the rest of the teams, it's all just a bunch of lies until the actual day. And what guys like Rob are doing, they're trying to figure out, he's looking at the needs of each team and, you know, going and actually, you know, filling out his mock draft, not by listening to the lies that every team is lying about, but actually by what their needs are with the available players that potentially could be there. And so I don't think it's going to be a big issue, but I do think that there are teams that if he does fall, he's going to be one of those guys that remembers those teams. And every time he plays those teams that passed him up, like Randy Moss did, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He put an ass whooping on us, on the Cowboys. Every time, because we were one of the teams that had talked to him that was going to draft him, and we didn't draft him, and he came in and made an example of us. This is what a guy like that has ability to do.
And, you know, there's a small suspicion that I have with Carolina. I know all indications are they're going to take Bryce Young, but it still would not surprise me if they walk up to that podium and say C.J. Stroud or even Will Levis. And, you know, that's, you know, that's crazy.
If they take fucking Will Levis, good on you as Saints and Falcons fans. Good on you, because that's going to be a ridiculous move, and they just set themselves back another 5-10 years. If they do that dumb shit, then that's on them. I would laugh. I would send you nothing but crying emojis if that happens. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, like I said, it may be a long shot, but, you know, Gary made the point about it. It's Lions season, right? None of these GMs are telling the truth right now. And so it still would not, there's a small part of me that still would not be surprised if they walk up to that podium and say C.J. Stroud. Or like I said, they've even talked that Frank Wright likes Will Levis too. So, you know, we'll see. Even though all indications are they going right
there. He's lying. I don't know. I saw a picture with C.J. Stroud with the gas mask and inhaling some stuff. So that's just what.
Come on, man. Come on, dog.
But I will say this: if Houston gets Will Anderson and somehow C.J. Stroud, you talk about a win-win. Damn, that would be a coup if they can pull that off somehow. I mean, or even some quarterback like Anthony Richardson, that's winning, I would think. If they can get their top pass rusher and a quarterback, like you said, Rob, that would be simply amazing. Seriously,
yeah.
if that happens. So.
If they pull that off, that'll definitely be a win for that organization. And if they do it, I mean, them drafting Will Anderson number two will be smart. Because then they will say they got the best pass rusher in the draft. And they got one of the top quarterbacks in the draft. So if they're able to pull that off, they would have done a heck of a job. I mean, they got D'Amico Ryans as a head coach now. He's a defensive-minded head coach. He's coming from San Francisco where he had elite pass rushers. And, you know, he wants the same in Houston. But if he can pull that off and still get Stroud or Anthony Winston, I agree, Dre. That's a huge win for that organization.
I'll be pissed. Y'all got all got NFC teams. I will be pissed off. Can we please let some of these MFers go to the NFC? I do not want to see that happen in Houston. I don't want to see Indianapolis get nobody good. Stop it. I'm ready for Lamar Jackson to leave Baltimore. Let's even this shit out. Go that way.
Go that way. Wait, this way. No. And,
man, some other way.
Well, Carolina,
I'm going to
get one of them.
Yeah, but I'll be Indianapolis to get the other two.
There's a couple of rumors with Baltimore still. You talked about if the 49ers should trade Trey Lance. I don't think they should trade Trey Lance by any means because they haven't proven it. Like, you're giving up on that guy too early. But there was kind of this whirly off-the-wall thing where they're talking about trading for Lamar Jackson to the 49ers. Some crazy thing. For Trey, then also the Minnesota Vikings inquired about Trey Lance, but his value is just you don't know enough about him, right? So it's like, why would you give up on that dude just yet? But, you know, wait till that value can kind of go up. But that's just an interesting scenario too, right? You know, so it's all about the quarterback, you know. So, yeah. You mentioned Baltimore, JQ. I know you keep trying to get rid of Lamar Jackson for any means, but let's get ready to wrap this up, and then we'll talk really quickly.
Come on,
Atlanta.
Stop bullshitting and go get Lamar Jackson. Damn it.
Yep, they like Desmond Ridder, man.
If you don't stop that shit.
Get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank y'all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We had a lot of fun with y'all tonight. We can't give you the OT portion of the show live, so click on the same link to get the rest of the show. Next week, we're going to be back on Tuesday night. We're going to be recapping the draft and NBA playoffs. For those of you all in New York, you want to hear about y'all Knicks, you want to hear about the Jets. In Philly, we want to hear about the 76ers, and we'll hear about the Eagles' two first-round draft picks. In Boston, of course, in Atlanta, we want to hear about those Hawks and the Celtics here on the East Coast, 11 p.m.
Yeah!
Next week, Trey Young from almost half court, Ice Trey with a dagger on tonight. Big win. All right, Central Time Zone, Milwaukee. What's going on, man? Y'all down 3-1 here. Better hope these draft picks work for Green Bay, because it looks like the Bucks are going to be out. Central Time,
yeah.
Mountain Time Zone. 9 p.m. Denver just eliminated Minnesota. Want to hear from y'all. Denver in the Mountain Time Zone. And in the Pacific, look like the Lakers above the Grizzlies 3-1. What a surprise there. And then Northern California duo, the Kings and the Warriors. De'Aaron Fox, are they going to play that? Is he going to play tomorrow night? He said he's going to give it a go, but how effective is he going to be? Great series so far. I want to hear from y'all in Northern California next week, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Good night.
I know I missed it. But, ooh, man, going right down the lane, high off the glass, sending it to OT. You just be hating, Gary, just a hater. You can't help it. Just in your blood. Just boiling over with hate. Your couch.
Where that sign at, Gary?
Oh, I just happened to.
We can't read that shit.
I was gonna give you time to talk about one of the topics that you want to talk about, and then wrap up. But just to kind of piggyback, Rob, I know everyone will be talking shit about Trae Young, but I'm just happy because I did not expect us to win this game. Now, granted, we could lose again, but I'm just happy about the fight that we are putting up. Us not having, you know, DeJounte Murray, I'm like, oh man, this is not looking good, because you know the Celtics have a lot of length. They are the number one seed, so it was just one of those like, man, for us to, you know, I'm sorry, the Bucks number one, but for us to kind of put that, you know, kind of fight up, it was kind of, I was happy, and everyone's going, oh, we're ready to trade. I'm like, yeah, Trae played his ass off, you know, so kudos to him, and I'm just happy that we survived. So, you know, again, everything else is house money at this juncture, too. So
they should have put that report out about 2 weeks earlier. They might have had a chance in that series. He clearly thinks that shit's hard. Listen, I watched that shot go in. I was like, wow, Trae. Without DeJounte Murray, like, I didn't think they had a chance. I didn't think they would be able to keep it close.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things where a team takes another team for granted, and they're still a pro team. And you can say that those dudes at the end of the bench, but they also are in the NBA for a reason. So if you don't come to play, you will lose at home. We let a team hang around. But you got to give a lot of credit to Trae. That was, you know, it was all on him tonight, that he was on the victory. So not much else you can say about that. I don't really have anything else for the topics, you know. Like I said, I'm happy that LeBron did what he did yesterday, but it don't mean shit. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, can't I'm sorry. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean
I
anything.
I didn't get a hard one. Chance.
Oh, what happened to Gary? Why did Gary drop? Who dropped? Gary dropped for some reason. Gary, can you call back?
Ah.
Okay.
Sorry, Gary.
Sorry, my guy. Dang it. Nice parting shot. Finish that last thought, if you will. Good. No, I was going to just drop that. The fact that Jimmy Butler scored 56 points, damn. I think they were saying that's the first 50-point game in, like, or player to score that in Miami history, which is crazy to think about that with the way Wade and Shaq, right? But he's the first to have that. And
LeBron.
But it said it was the first, maybe in, okay, when I was looking at it said the first, maybe it's playoff history. I got to look at that. Maybe we'll verify that.
I understand that.
That.
No, but you're talking about old Shaq, right? Alonzo Mourning is a center who's best known for defense and not for scoring 57 points. So you're talking about between him, Wade, and LeBron. And
Wade,
you have
Wade,
those years with him,
LeBron.
Where Wade and LeBron are on the same team. It's hard for both, you know, for somebody to go 56 and the other dude just is so good. He's going to get his shots too. So I'm not overly surprised if you look at the history of the Miami Heat in terms of scores. But Jimmy Butler.
But Dwayne Wade
was
there first, before, and then
he was.
Came, so, but yeah.
That's the young Dwayne Wade. I'm not saying, it's not like when you say, well, the Lakers or the Celtics are teams that have IQs that have been scoring since before our parents were still young. So that doesn't necessarily shock me like that. But Jimmy Butler. Somebody said, well, that's the greatest playoff performance I've ever seen. I wanted to say, slow down. And then I had to think about it. And I was like, well, damn, he did go for 56, like, as the 8 seed against the 1 seed against a team that's going to have maybe 3 all-NBA defense guys on the first 2 teams between Giannis, Lopez, and Jrue Holiday. And I was sitting there, like, the more I kept thinking about it, I was like, well, shit. Maybe it is. Like, this, Jimmy Butler was tough yesterday. Like, he was
He was tough yesterday.
It
was crazy.
Didn't Brook Lopez score like 36 points, too? That was crazy, right? I was like, man,
Brook Lopez scored 36
too.
Points, and Giannis had a triple double.
Like, he
still went for 56 on the board.
Yeah, that's what I was
Giannis wasn't himself last night if you watched that game. You could tell he's still hurting from that back injury. You know, we'll have to see how – I think they play again tomorrow night. But we'll have to see how well he's recovered from that. You can tell he's still not 100%, and he's just trying to give it a go to see if he can help the team win. But you can tell he was grimacing and wasn't his best in that game. But come on, man, Miami Heat, man. They had Ronnie Cycli in their organization all those years.
If you don't stop that shit, did you say Ronnie Cycli?
But you know what?
I'm going to do it too. Chris Middleton. Hey, man. Hey, bro. All-star. What you doing? And I told you that I had to take a step back because they won that championship with Chris Middleton. So I had to give him his props because they won that championship. But Chris Middleton was out there looking like Chris Middleton, doing Chris Middleton things. What are you doing? You know that dude ain't healthy. You got to come out to play. And you can't
Drew
just
Holiday
get locked
too.
Up. But Drew Holiday is going to have to deal more with Jimmy Butler and Struce. And those smaller guys that can play good defense. Chris Middleton is big enough and has enough range on his shot to where he's supposed to go out there and say, okay, this thing is starting to slip away. You paying me this kind of money. I'm an all-star. It's time for me to step into this void. And that's what Chris Middleton's not that guy. And I said that, but he won the title, so I had to be quiet.
Yeah. He hasn't been the same either since he's come back. He hasn't been the same since he's come back from those injuries this year, too. And that's not making an excuse for Chris Middleton. And I totally agree with you. He's got to step up. But he just hasn't been the same player. And, you know, maybe it's going to take him another year before he gets back to that level. But he is not the same player he was prior to that injury.
I was just going to comment on the thoughts that it's crazy that there's a couple of people that scored 56. You know, obviously the same Jordan, Wilt, and then Barkley, but there's only been a couple players to see that, which was, you know, Jordan scored 63, Elgin Baylor scored 61, Donovan Mitchell had 57. So you're like, man, this is some interesting company that he's actually in. Only like the five players that have been in that stratosphere, obviously, but it's just crazy from that perspective too. But they're gonna mess around and knock off a number one seed and just, you know, Jimmy Butler, that dude is just willing that squad, man. So it's just an interesting sight, man. So I don't know if anything else you want to talk about before we jump off. I still wish we had that clip for the Jets thing, JQ. You know, he was misspelled the Jets for the draft. I gotta get that queued up some way somehow, because that always gives me a chuckle every time I think about that. It's just like a classic, you know, I gotta put that on there for every time I see it.
Yeah.
It was like, come on, man. And every time the draft comes around, I think about that. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, another guy to call out, I know there's one part of our topic, but another guy to call out in these playoffs, the Donovan Mitchell. He's another guy, he's like third, fourth year in a row, he's just not showing up in the playoffs, man. He's a new James Harden when it comes to the playoffs, man. It's a great regular season.
Uh-oh.
Can't throw the ball in the ocean when it comes to the playoffs. I mean, the Knicks have totally shut his ass down. And part of it is on him,
I keep trying to tell y'all, it's only about five or six dudes that's worth that contract money, and other teams are trying to get a guy to step into that void and give him that money and hope that he'll end up being it. And, you know, he's an undersized shooting guard, you know, and these smaller dudes that come out there and have those problems, like I feel like I like Jalen Brunson. When you move on and you play a bigger team like Boston or Philadelphia, or a team that's really decent, like Miami, they're going to have problems. And I've always felt that way, that if you're not Steph Curry, right, or maybe Dame, like as a guard, a two guard, like I'm trying to get my money to somebody bigger.
Jalen Brunson has been impressive.
He has. But it's hard for me to give that kind of money to somebody who is under 6'3 in the NBA, right? And expect him to lead me to a title. I like Donovan Mitchell. I just think Donovan Mitchell is going to be at two. And I think Jared Garland would be at three. If they had those as a two or three with somebody else as it was a one, they would be unstoppable. Well, now you have them playing twos and threes, playing as the ones and twos, and
I mean, that's always.
Hey, Dre, man, you gotta stop using that black, man. Let your gray show, man.
Man, it's all good, man. I'm still gonna keep it young, man. I'm still in this phase, man. What you talking about, man?
That cocoa bean?
Down until it's tough. I haven't dyed my beard at all.
Stop
man.
Using that spray, man.
Natural. I don't do anything, man. Come on, man. Why are you?
And there was
like
that shoe polish.
No, I don't. I've got one or two strands, but it's not really. And that happens, I'll shave it, man. I'll go back to the goatee. I'm just joking. It's a badge of honor. It's a badge of honor. Trying to mess me up, man. See y'all, man. We're getting older, man. We're getting grays and stuff like that. Damn.
Well, that's what happens when you live without women. So.
Hey,
I got all the ball with a spray that black on you, man.
Hey, I got all these sticks in this house.
Yeah, that's gonna add some age to you, man. Some gray to your hair for sure, man. Why? I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to keep going. I was gonna say really quickly, it's tough for the short guards, man, because that's what I fear about the Trae Youngs, because I mean he's kind of short, but you know, at least he could provide other value as far as stuff like that too. But you look at the landscape of what's happening, and every time I think about that, I think about how Billy Knight decided to draft, or he liked Deron Williams over Chris Paul because he just felt like Chris Paul played his worst game against Deron Williams, a bigger guy, and he thought that because Chris Paul had his worst game, he wasn't going to be a good guard in the NBA. So that I'm still like, damn, it's tough to kind of make that assessment. You know, so, but I digress. You know,
still didn't even draft Deron Williams, drafted Marvin Williams.
No, he did not. And that shit is still, like, upsetting me, man. Sheldon Williams, the slumlord, and then Marvin Williams, the whatever lord you want to call that, man. So, whatever.
Oh, man,
remember
I got him
Sheldon
going.
Williams owned the paint? He owned the paint? You're the slumlord, man. Get the hell out of here, man. You're not the landlord. You're the slumlord.
Okay.
And then how you
okay.
lose Travis Parker,
good.
Man? Come on, man.
Well, you know how.
Parker,
that's a whole different conversation that we're not going to have right now. I'm not doing that with you tonight. No.
I got questions, man. I'm just saying. I got questions.
No.
Come on, man. You definitely the
slumlord. No.
I'm not the landlord.
I'm going to bed. I love y'all. I will talk to y'all next week.
I'm
going to
call Sheldon Williams the landlord.
Because you own the paint? Because you own the paint? Get the hell out of here, man. We'll call you the slumlord, man.
Oh, man.
You remember that, though, right?
Good night.
Right?
I do.
Good night, JQ. Call him the landlord. Like, what the hell, man? Get the
I do remember
here,
that.
Man.
I forgot about that. But
you
I do
are
remember.
Not the landlord.
They called him that while he was at Duke, too. They called him that when he was at Duke,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the landlord because you own
the
paint.
Landlord.
Man, what the hell? Get the hell out of here. He did not own the paint in the NBA.
He's got the strongest will I've ever seen of anybody since Michael Jordan. Get out of here with
okay.
that fool, Jay Billis.
All right. Go to bed.
Good night, guys. We'll see. Looking forward
good
to
night,
that. We've got 2 days. We'll talk to you soon, guys. Peace. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate you.
All right, Chuck.
Slumlord. You remember that, Rob, right?
I do.
Slumlord. Well, he's a landlord, but yeah. All right, bro. We'll see. We can't wait to talk about the draft coming up, bro. Be good.
All right, Doug.
All right. Peace.